I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? Are we supposed to worry about other people's needs? Is our country supposed to go along with all those other nations in caring for our earth? Well, the answer to these questions depend on who you are and on who you want to be. They depend on how you see yourself, as an island or as part of the whole, as the king of your castle or part of the commons. Listen to these words from Sunday school teacher and environmental activist Bill McKibben. He writes, 3/4 of Americans believe that the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. That is, 3 out of every 4 Americans believe that this uber-American idea, a notion at the core of our current individualist politics and culture, which was in fact uttered by Benjamin Franklin, they believe it appears in Holy Scripture. The thing is, not only is Franklin's wisdom not biblical, it's counter-biblical. Few ideas could be further from the gospel message with its radical summons to love of neighbor. On this essential matter, most Americans, most Christian Americans, are simply wrong. As if 75% of scientists believed that Newton proved that gravity causes apples to fly up. Bill McKibben concludes, America is simultaneously the most professedly Christian of the developed nations and the least Christian in its behavior. If you watch the news at all, and if you're any observer of human nature, you know there can be a big difference between who people say they are and how they act, how they really are. I think of our friend, the late Reverend Gregory Thomas from Calvary Baptist Church, who would say to his people across the street every now and then, that we in this congregation, we may not profess the same faith that they do, but he would tell them, he would remind them that, in his words, over the years, we have been more Christian to them than some of their Baptist brethren. As Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. We live in a country built upon the myth of rugged individualism. But it's a myth. The reality is people have always needed each other. And we are increasingly connected and interdependent upon one another. Some of us just don't like to admit that. Remember the storm that erupted when President Obama said that successful business owners didn't do it all on their own? He said, you didn't build it all by yourself. And people got really mad when he said that. We are currently experiencing a backlash against the growing diversity and interconnectedness of our time. Some people are threatened by this, thinking that if people at the margins get a place at the table too, somehow that's going to mean they get less. Somehow that hurts them. But that's not what we believe, nor is it what the Jewish or Christian traditions or our own UU faith teach. We have to decide, as individuals, as a faith community, as a nation, who we intend to be. How will we live in this tension between the individual and the community, between freedom and responsibility? It seems to me many of the problems and issues we're facing today come down to that age-old question. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to worry about the undocumented immigrant who is afraid of getting picked up if he drives without a license or if she calls the police to report a crime? Should I be concerned about the people who are at risk these days of becoming homeless because they can't afford their rising rent payments? Should I be worrying about those who are suffering from the epidemic of opioid addiction or PTSD from serving in combat zones or black parents who fear for their children's lives each day? If you listen to some of the political rhetoric, and even some of those preachers who preach what's called the prosperity gospel, their answer would be a version of Ben Franklin's "God helps those who help themselves." In other words, look out for number one. But if you call yourself a person of faith, if you are in any way rooted in the tradition of Jesus or the Hebrew prophets, of Islam or Buddhism or other great religions, then you know you are called to love your neighbor, to be your sister's keeper, to be your brother's keeper, that we are all siblings and kin. In Africa, they have a word for this way of being. They call it Ubuntu. Desmond Tutu, the great Archbishop of South Africa, says Ubuntu means you are generous, you are hospitable, you are friendly and caring and compassionate. You share what you have. It is to say, my humanity is caught up, is inextricably bound up in yours. We say a person is a person through other persons. Archbishop Tutu says, a person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good. For she or he has a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that they belong in a greater whole and are diminished when others are humiliated or diminished, when others are tortured or oppressed or treated as if they were less than who they are. Our worship theme for this month of June is interdependence. This should not be a controversial idea for people of faith. Our tradition teaches that we do belong to one another. But living it is not for the faint of heart. Because to admit that you need somebody else can be countercultural these days. And you know, don't you, that living with others is hard, and being in community can be hard. We are different people, and we sometimes get on each other's nerves and push each other's buttons. We don't always know if the truth that we need to speak will be heard or welcomed. It's messy and complicated to live in community, right? But it's also what we are made for. Any of you remember the children's story, The Velveteen Rabbit? There's a description in there that speaks to this. That story is about some stuffed animals and how they become real. And the key passage in the book comes when the little rabbit asks the old and wise skin horse, "What is real?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" It doesn't happen all at once, said the skinned horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in your joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. The invitation before us, especially these days, is to be real, to be real with ourselves and with each other, to acknowledge that we need one another and we belong to one another. As Gwendolyn Brooks said, we are each other's harvest, we are each other's business, we are each other's magnitude and bond. The demand of this interdependence is that we be present to one another as best as we are able, that we show up for one another again and again, and we allow others to show up and help us too. This open-hearted kind of caring is what Julia Kasdorf learned from her mother. And I share her poem with you again as a blessing and a benediction, a charge to us for the living of these days. I learned from my mother how to love the living, to have plenty of vases on hand in case you have to rush to the hospital, with peonies cut from the lawn, black ants still stuck to the buds. I learned to save jars large enough to hold fruit salad for a whole grieving household, to cube home-canned pears and peaches, to slice through the maroon grape skins and flick out the sexual seeds with a knife point. I learned to attend viewings even if I didn't know the deceased, to press the moist hands of the living, to look in their eyes and offer sympathy, as though I understood loss even then. I learned that whatever we say means nothing. What anyone will remember is that we came. I learned to believe I had the power to ease awful pains materially, like an angel. Like a doctor, I learned to create from another suffering my own usefulness. And once you know how to do this, you can never refuse. To every house you enter, you must offer healing. A chocolate cake you baked yourself, the blessing of your voice, your chaste touch. My spiritual companions, isn't it clear and isn't it good that we are all in this together? Let us remember that and act like that now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing 1064 in the Teal Hymnal, Blue Boat Home.